Okay, we're gonna move the agenda a little bit tonight. Bridge Airport Base has a ceremony for us tonight, so we're gonna let them support this one.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start off with a brief moment of silence. Okay. Today marks the 24th anniversary of the attacks on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and the deadly crash of United Airlines Flight 93. September 11, 2001 changed our lives forever and became a solemn part of history we will never forget. Amidst the devastation, we witnessed the selfless courage of first responders and the resilience of the nation united in grief. We will never forget the 2,977 victims laid to rest from the initial incidents of this impactful day, and we will never cower nor step aside when faced with the risk of paying the ultimate sacrifice. We are first responders. Today, we come together to remember and honor 445 firefighters, police officers, paramedics, and medical technicians who lost their lives in the line of duty. We stand here honoring their legacy and sacrifice by the continuance of our service. As emergency responders, we have the responsibility of not only being first on scene, but also the responsibility of being first to safeguard our nation's freedom and security. Knowing the next call to duty may be our very last, we are confident and prepared to respond in any situation or emergency. And so, to those who have selflessly given their lives for the good of their fellow man, their tasks are complete. Their duties, well done. To our comrades, their last alarm. They are going home. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the ceremony for today. Thank you for taking the time to attend. We will now lead into the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I do want to make a correction right there. That was 3 Airport Base Fire Department and the Fire Department. Okay, public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. A discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within the jurisdiction that are not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda comments. Must be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name, address, and spell your last name for the record. Any member of the board wishing to extend the length of presentation that will be done by the chairperson or by the board by majority vote. And we have approval or minutes for August.
We give you a planner. We meet once a month where we can put information in. We help you set time aside to plan your week before you walk out those little tasks. We are still running our True Crime Serial Killer Knockout Tournament. We are coming to an end. We are coming into our kind of final breakdown. So everybody who's moved on, they're going head-to-head really fast in a lightning round, and then right before Halloween, we'll have our final winner, as creepy as that sounds, and our serial killer knockout. We are still running our communication through art program, where kids get to come in and listen to a storybook and then paint and have interactions with their parents and discuss why they painted what they did. That is the last Thursday of every month, so that is September 25th at 5 p.m. this month. And as always, we are still running our free yoga classes. Every Tuesday, 10 a.m., come in. We have an amazing yoga coach who brings us through mat yoga, chair yoga, and that is every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Any questions? Thank you.
Okay, well, I will report from Indian Springs Volunteer Fire Department.
Evening, everyone. My name is Jerry Judd, the Indian Springs Volunteer Fire Department Chief here. So far this year, we've had 105 calls. We really don't have anything going on. We'll be helping out with the spectacular Friday nights. We'll be doing football games here, home football games. We're still looking for volunteers. We're still short staff. That's all I have. Yes.
Are you bringing back your parade of lights?
Yes. and delivery still on to
parade of lights.
Parade of lights.
Report from Mental Park. That's all.
Hello.
That's the party.
Say hi.
Hi, Kevin.
Y'all wake him up. Come on, Dean, wake him up. All right, numbers. Let's see. From January 1st to today, 773 total events. That's just this area, not including mountain. 201 of those were proactive, meaning traffic stops, person stops. 141 of those incidents resulted in citations or arrests. And if I remember correctly, it's about 100 incidents from last month, last time that we met.
That's a big jump.
A couple days less than a month. It's been busy. It's nice weather out. Things that will take away manpower from us. I just got an email yesterday. The protesters that come out twice a year, they're coming back in the fall. So they are planning on Friday, October 10th. Don't stop by and say hi, but you can see us across the street.
What is the name of these protesters?
So it's still the Nevada Desert Experience, but this protest is called Justice for Our Desert. Just different name. Same people. I have a very good relationship with the planned protest organizer, which is really nice. He tells me how many people are coming, when they're going to be there, what they plan on doing. They're not planning on shutting down the roads or anything. I've already been in contact with Creech Air Force Base personnel, so this is the easier one, a little less manpower intensive, but we'll still handle things the way we do. I did have a question for the library. Please don't let me forget. It's Halloween related. And then National Night Out, I'm not going to take away from Creech Air Force Base, but you'll start seeing myself and some of my officers. We're going to start going door-to-door to hand out the flyers. So the rest of the information I'll let Brent handle, but starting September 23rd, so this way it's close enough, but not too far out that you'll remember that we have this really awesome event planned for you. It's going to be much bigger than last year's.
Can I interject one second?
Sure.
I just got an email that we have 20 blue cones for you.
Okay. I have a whole parking plan, and I drew pictures and everything.
There you go.
Thank you. Picking
them up next week.
Thank you.
And we'll coordinate.
And then the only other thing that I had is we had a kind of smaller in scale critical incident last week overnight, and I can't think that they're not in here, but I can't thank the public enough for when we asked for help with the videos and pictures. We have the new Axon link. If you see an officer on the field, you saw something and you kind of get that thought in your head, like, oh, maybe they would want to know something. We have a way for you to send your photos and videos right to our police database. I can access them, and that was integral to the investigation, which it all ended up being fine. So that's all I have. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great.
Back from vacation I am, but I've been around long enough to see that I hate to dump this in your lap.
And that's why we wear brown?
Along with those flyers, maybe we could hand out possibly a proactive approach that I think we ought to ban underage people from being able to allow to drive their dirt bikes on our paved roads. If they want to ride in the desert, they need to walk their bike out to the desert, just like they do in Las Vegas, because these kids are abusing the freedom we used to have out there. I see a dangerous, dangerous cycle happening that, excuse the pun, the parents are even promoting their children riding in front of them on a dirt bike. They're probably 6 years old, and they're riding down McFarland. These people need to get gas cans. They need to not use the excuse they're going to get gas on the gas station. They need to trailer their bikes out to the desert and promote playing in the desert. That's what their bikes are designed for. Not to go up to the community center, see who's up there, and then run right back down the blacktop road. So what they're doing is abusing what we have as freedom out there. And especially the underage kids, because they don't know the traffic rules of the road. That's all I have to say. And with that flyer, I think you can promote safety at the same time at Halloween. And maybe get a proactive approach about keeping these kids safer in this. So that's all I have to add to this problem.
No, I like the idea. It's good. So you know it says on the side of our trucks, police vehicles, says partners of the community, right? We need your help too. Like you call us and ask for help, and of course we're more than happy to help. This is when you guys can help us out too. Take videos, take pictures.
Our town isn't like Logandale where we can have HOV access roads. Our town is landlocked to the desert. So every road would have to be an HOV road to get to the desert. But no longer are these adults are the ones that aren't causing the problems. It's the younger people that are taking access to what we've got.
And I appreciate your understanding. And it's no secret, you guys have been here way longer than I have.
I don't have a huge team, and we know that, and we have to cover 2,800 square miles, and that's why I'm asking for the help, is you can be a tattletale, and you can be an anonymous tattletale. You can take pictures, you can take videos, especially if there's license plates. You know the parents that are telling them, like you're saying. You can send me that information. You can do the service request online, say anonymous. That will eventually get to me, and I say that because I haven't received any. I guess that's a good thing. But if there's a need for it, those things can help me on the back end because there are procedures in place to address these concerns after the fact. Because in a perfect world, I would love to have, like in the city, 8 cops on one squad with 3 squads working, and yeah, we can all stay up here. That's just not how the resident section works, unfortunately. But there is remedies to issues where education and enforcement. Metro prefers education first. They prefer that first, which, yeah. Sure. But I have to hold someone accountable. So especially if I can get those license plates, it's a smaller town. You guys know everybody more than I do. You know who it is. So I'm kind of telling you to be that tattletale. I can't make you do it, but the more information that you give me, that gives me more legs to stand on, and I can do something about it in the back end. Because I don't know if you know this, but citations can be issued a year and a day after the fact. And it depends. If you're really nice to me, I usually don't.
Because in retrospect, there was an adult that would ride his bike at 9 o'clock at night, straight down Winston Lane and go to Pioneer. He sure as hell could have gone down to the desert to get to Pioneer. But instead, he came through like a barrel.
And I really do wish my guys could be everywhere at once. That would make things a lot easier and kind of put, I hate using the word fear, but just have a respect for the laws in place. That would be nice, but everyone knows how it works. But I can help on the back end. It's not just I listen to you, I write it down, and that's it. But if you give me the ammunition to use it, then we can absolutely, there's other procedures in place to address it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'm with Terry. I live on Raleigh Lane.
Okay.
Where you can call it Raleigh Freeway, because these kids, they have the younger kids, small bikes, dirt bikes, quads, run up and down that street, day in, day out. They follow each other. One's got headlights, the other one don't, so he follows the other in front of him. And they're just little kids. Like I talked to my officers the other night. I said, you know what? It's going to hurt to see some of the kids get smashed there. And I know you guys can't be here all the time. But you got to start taking them. Give them a ticket. Take the bucks and put them in the pound. Let them go pick them up. And tell them, this is what's going to happen if we catch you kids doing this. I said, well, you want us to look at everybody? What about your bike? I said, I don't have a bike. I got a general. I said, but I got my tags that I'm supposed to have. Like, I know we're illegal. But when Sergeant Velasquez said it, he came out and gave everybody a speech. You know you're illegal? We'll let you get away with it if you obey the speed limit. That's all I ask of you guys to do. Well, I said, the other guys who got him, we obey the speed limit. It's all these, like she said, younger kids. That Raleigh in front of my house, it's a freeway. And some kid's going to get killed there.
So going off with the parents too, thinking about it, it's not just a traffic infraction, and tell your friends and neighbors and whatnot, you could be looking at child endangerment charges if you're allowing it to happen and you're setting up a process where, like, hey, we're going to follow behind you, you're still putting your kid at risk. So that's when it starts to be criminal. So
yeah, spread the word. Right in front of them. And they don't even have helmets at all. So it's like, I don't want to see one of those little kids get squished or fall off the thing,
sure.
You know, but somebody's got to care for that kid, because obviously the parent doesn't, you know, and you say to take video, well, they're going by so fast, by the time you get your phone out to take the video, they're not there anymore. I took a video one time last summer, and then when I went to go find one of your officers, that kid was following me around. He didn't stop following me until I had to get on the 95.
Do you know who they are, though?
The guy that followed me?
No. Just like when the situation happens. Because I know sometimes it's tricky. You have to get your phone out and try and catch it.
It's 10 people every time. Every single day.
If you know who they are, I don't need the video to do certain things. That helps me with enforcement for sure. Like, hey, this is you. It's no mistake. It was Dean on a dirt bike. Like, no mistake.
So
I'm going to give him a ticket.
It's not even dirt bikes. It's Harleys, too.
Yeah.
They go flying. They take that corner. And as soon as they come, like, the first trailer in, it's like, oh, I got to punch it. And they go flying by, and you can hear it. And then all of a sudden, they go down this way, but then you hear them coming back again. It's like that back road is the only road that exists for all those people that are flying by there. And like I said, they're adults. I mean, if you're going to fall and crack your head open, then so be it, you know. But it's still annoying because while they're flying up this way, the other ones are flying that way. And it's just, it's sad. It's sad to see the lack of care or the lack of responsibility that the adults have, that they don't have.
And everyone thinks it's not going to happen to them. It'll be fine. I know what I'm doing. But traffic laws are written in a manner that it's intended and expected that everyone follows the law. So when you change that one part of the equation, that's how the collisions occur. So I hear everything you're saying. It doesn't have to, those pictures and videos, you can be driving by later, but you see the bike outside in the front yard or something, snap a picture, you send in the service request. This date and time, this is what they were doing, this is the bike, this is the house, the address. That helps me do things on the back end. And don't forget, too, I've mentioned this before, but I know I'm kind of seeing faces that I haven't seen in a while, is don't forget about the online traffic service requests, because how our commanders operate is, if you look at Mount Charleston, Indian Springs, of course, or they look, everything is statistic-driven, right? So our call volume is a lot less, which is the residential section, but they go off the heat maps, too. If everyone here is getting traffic service requests over and over and over again, and then it turns into a heat map, well, now it's going to make a bureau commander, which counts. That makes them reallocate resources. There's a situation here, then they start digging into it. Because right now, it's just business as usual until we start receiving those problematic service requests or the traffic service requests. They are two different things.
So does that go for all of these unregistered, unincluded vehicles, kids?
Everything.
I see that trend as well.
That's all we ask for the veterans.
Yeah, they see you guys out, and they take the back roads. And they know when you guys leave Indian Springs. They know when you guys park
the back. Totally aware about the group chat. The second we come off the freeway, we know. Because all of a sudden, there's not a single heartbeat walking out and about. Like, so we're aware.
But the other day, I was talking to a friend of mine in front of my house, talking to one of your officers, that little samurai. Your man was sitting there talking to him. He just looked at him. He just kept talking about his hunting trip he went on. I said, you could have said, excuse me, guys, let me go take care of myself first.
Okay.
The girl saw it too late, but she just slowed down and went and parked right there where they live. He could have said, let me go take care of my job. Then we'll come back and talk about the hunting trip.
And you said it's a samurai?
Yeah, it's a gray primate samurai.
Let's shoot more definitely. If you know, definitely.
Yeah. It's kind of like a community car.
Yeah.
Sure. The only thing I got to say, you know, like Tom Paul was saying, you know, those kids are drawing Paul and Asif down that road, and then they get to the stop sign. They didn't even stop there. They just fucking go right through. They just go right on through. They make the left hand turn, not the right hand turn. They don't even look at the traffic. I'm sitting there, I'm watching. I might turn on the corner out there. And same thing with the cars. They come in and the Harleys come through, all the cars, and they think it's a drag strip.
Okay, at least there's a spot right here. Coming from McFarland to Raleigh, there isn't. So when I leave his place at night, I almost got hit the other night because this guy come whipping around and I was just like, dude, you need to slow down.
A year ago, a kid missed a stop sign and ran into the neighbor across the street and pulled out both cars.
So
it's a problem.
You need to go out to the desert. That's where they go. They used to do that.
They need to go out to the desert. They also need to take the right road to the desert. Because they just go wherever the hell they want, and then all that dust comes in all their houses.
Yeah,
it sucks.
Yeah, that's an environmental factor. That's kind of tricky. But like I said before when I started, we've issued almost 30 tickets. That's almost one a day just here. So you have to remember that, too. It's not... I don't know who they're ticketing. I don't see every citation now. It's electronic. I don't see any citations anymore. It's all on the officer's tablet or on our phones. We can do it. So you have to think. We almost wrote one ticket a day since the last time we talked, and it's less than 30 days since the last time we talked.
Can I interject real quick?
Yeah.
You mentioned the website to where you can online. I just want to remind everyone that on the All Things Indian Springs page, that website is pinned to the very top to make it easy to get to. So if you would like to just report something online, then it's pinned right there for easy access.
Cool.
It's absolutely true that saying the squeaky wheel gets the oil. It's absolutely true because the last position I had, the community engagement, that's the sergeant who reads every single service request that pertains to Northwest Area Command, which we report to. So that was my job before. So knowing this now, because I would send it out to all the bureaus that would need to, like, hey, we had a vice service request. We thought someone was pimping someone out of a house over here. We see stolen vehicles out of this property over here. I was the one that sent all those out. So my replacement, I'm friends with him. I know. I don't have anything. So it's either people just voicing frustrations, and then I know about the social media pages. I get told that. I don't follow it. I'm not on it. So I'm not spying on like an alias or anything. My guys tell me. So I hear some of the things. But it really is. That's how Mother Metro works, is be that squeaky wheel and submit those. I know it just takes a couple of minutes of your time to slap the information in there, provide what you can. And it is a pain in the butt. But I just don't want you to be misled or kind of getting discouraged to where you don't see that instant gratification to where, like, oh, I just submitted the service request on a Thursday. I haven't seen anything. I saw them go by again Thursday night. There's a process. It takes time. But if it's not done, I'll never get it. And then our captains aren't going to reallocate resources or ask the traffic bureau to come up here with motorcycles. Motorcycles are not going to come up here unless it's a pain in their butt and their captain's tired of hearing about it. So unfortunately, that's how things go. So.
Maybe it might be a good idea to maybe post a reminder on social media about that.
I think I did recently. I did recently, but I'll make a post specifically about it instead of just a comment.
You don't ever feel like you're being a pest to me. That's what I'm here for. I got to hear about these things. You expect to help you out better. I'm not going anywhere. You're stuck with me for a long time. Question?
Moving away from the whole road traffic.
It was you on the same brain.
What exactly are the purpose of
COVID? They don't like drone warfare. I can't get political or give my opinions or views or anything, but I can answer your question. They don't like drone warfare.
Any other questions from the floor?
Okay. Of course, happy to hang out afterwards when I have private conversations too. I'm more than happy to talk to you.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Okay. I would. They're not here tonight, so we're going to have the Creech Air Force. Glad to see you.
Good evening. Nick Piazzario, 432nd Mission Support Group. Telephone number is 702-404-3574 if you need anything. I came tonight to talk about three big things for us. The first one, we have, in some of the previous meetings I've attended, I told you we have had some construction opportunities that have come down the pike. Well, we have started to break ground. So over the next 5 years, you're going to see a lot more construction increase. You can see over near the fire station on the far side, we have begun to zone off an area that's referred to as the Disaster Resiliency Program. It's a five-year project. It's $550 million. We're going to build about 9 new buildings over there, and we're going to lay a lot of concrete for tarmac and things like that where airplanes are going to potentially park. The concept of operations there is, if you paid attention over the last few years, the events that took place at, what's the one in Florida? The hurricane in Florida that knocked out, it wasn't McDill, I never remember.
Tyndall,
thank you. The hit that Tyndall Air Force Base took in Florida was very significant and basically ceased operations for about 2 years at Tyndall from the military training aspect of things. So the idea here is if an event like that were to occur, that those assets could potentially be relocated to somewhere like Crete while the home station is being repaired. So what else? That, as I said, $550 million worth of work. This October will be my 19th year here at Creech Air Force Base. So I have been here through lots of periods of construction. I'm very well aware of the things that you're concerned with. I gave you my telephone number if you have any concerns. We do have a public affairs office on Creech also. So. If we have issues with that construction traffic and the things that take place, please speak up, and we will. I know nobody here ever has to be told to speak up, but we're here to make sure those things are concerned. We are partners with you. We want to address those things that take place. I know air quality is a big concern. You heard what I'm going to build. We are placing the asphalt batch plant on the far side of the installation up near the wing headquarters building, for those of you who know where that is. It will not be on the right along the highway. Second issue, if you've paid attention in the news recently, it's called the Collaborative Combat Aircraft. A new program is bedding down at Creech. Essentially, it is not RPA next. It is not the next evolution of like an MQ-9. It is a collaborative combat aircraft. Essentially, the concept of operations is that these airplanes are unmanned and they will be dispatched remotely, unlike how we currently have a pilot behind them. These aircraft will have computers that will actually fly them, and then they will join a manned aircraft out on the range doing in the very near future, October 10th, we are breaking ground on the repair of our primary runway. That new program came here, and since computers are involved in how the airplane lands and strategically positions things, they discovered that the runway probably is a few miles past what they needed it to be from a test environment. So we have found a way to collect the money that we needed to completely redo the primary runway. That primary runway is the one that runs parallel to the highway and not the crosswind runway. So October 10th through December 10th, we are going to be completely repaving that runway. Now, it's called a mill and overlay process. We're not going to remove all of that. We essentially bring in a heavy-duty grinder, which will grind that all up and replace a lot of the asphalt. But we're not going to be completely replacing the entire airfield. We're just going to be working on the top layer. So it's going to look brand new, but if you're a science nerd on engineering stuff, it's not a complete replacement. We're just redoing the top. So any questions on that? Okay. Want to introduce a fellow compatriot here from Creech, Ron. Ron works out of our environmental shop. My understanding is Ron and our environmental manager were here last time to talk to you about the PFAS program. And I was asked to bring up that they have only received two responses. So if, go ahead.
Before Ron, your runway that comes toward the town.
That comes towards the town. Okay, so I would refer to that as the crosswind, the one that, okay.
Crosswind,
yeah.
Okay. Is it a fact that those drones, whatever you want to call those little guys, aren't supposed to be on the side of the highway?
Is it a fact? Not necessarily. So I am not an airspace expert. If that is a concern, we can certainly get somebody here to answer questions. The reality is, like you're talking about kids on motorcycles, our pilots have to fly a very prescribed pattern. And if they do not do that, they are not pilots for very long. So I could bring some maps if that would be helpful the next time I'm here. But there are there are essentially orbits that, think of it like a roadmap that mm-hmm. most pilots have to fly in and around the airspace. I'm fairly confident. Now, should they be over your homes? Not necessarily. But do we cross the highway at some point, maybe run parallel to the highway? I can't tell you that that doesn't happen. But we can, those are public information. We can make those available
the
to you.
Morning,
but what those
on the walk, and they came right off that strip, and they came right over the town on the edge of it.
Okay.
Came over me. I waved at them like that. Said, what y'all doing here, you know? And then he finally turned it around, went back that way. It was definitely...
And it was one of our NQ9s?
Oh, yes. It was almost a mile over the road.
Okay.
On this side. That's the second time. The first time was in the evening. They were coming straight down Winston, right at me. And then once they got to the house, you veered and went to the base.
So
now you've got new study planes coming out, unmanned, and that's why I'm asking the question. Are they going to be on this side of the highway?
Okay, so from that perspective, these planes will only be running off of the primary runway. They're not allowed to go off the runway you're referring to,
okay.
the study plane. And they will only turn to the right and head out into the range and then come back.
Okay.
Test planes should not be, from that perspective, test planes should not be over.
Oh, I see one on the side of the highway.
You need to call me right away.
Okay.
But I will double check to make sure everything I'm telling you is 100% correct, and I'll investigate the incident that took place, and if we can get you some information, we will.
Okay. Does that be around 5 o'clock in the morning?
Okay. Other than that, we do invite, again, we want to, since the briefing was provided last time about the PFAS, and it seems like you guys
actually,
know.
Could you give a brief rundown? Because we were pretty empty last
sure.
month, and there's some faces that
so PFAS is essentially a fire retardant foam that was utilized by the Air Force for the better part of 40 years. And long story short, it's the stuff we put in the hangars and that comes in on that used to come on the trucks. Turns out it is not very safe stuff for it's great at fighting fires. It met its requirement very, very well. Applicable to groundwater. Now, this study that's being conducted is about groundwater and the potential for what's referred to as balloons, where essentially if, like you did in science class, if you take water and you put droplets of a different color water, you can watch how it disperses. This is an analysis of the potential for the chemicals to have impacted the groundwater. To our knowledge right now, there is no problem of this stuff blooming out, but this is a public advisory panel. We're asking for your input. We want to show you everything that we know and everything that we understand. So that's why we're asking for volunteers. So please, we invite your participation. My understanding is 700 postcards were sent out with the way to volunteer. And again, we've only received 2 responses. So if anybody else wants to be a part of it, we invite you to come and be a part of it. So. I want to be crystal clear. To our knowledge right now, we don't know of a danger of anything to Indian Springs. We are not reading problems in the aquifer underneath right now, but this is better safe than sorry. And most importantly, the Air Force has migrated away from this chemical and to something that is much, much safer. So we no longer use it anywhere on the installation or anywhere in the Air Force. Did I get that right, Ron?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anything to add?
No. We're just currently doing some more investigation. Tomorrow we'll be doing some drilling on the north side, so it's away from.
These are monitoring wells for the purpose of this study. So.
If you don't use it anymore, then what's the point of this study?
Because the chemicals are already in the ground.
So it's already...
So as people who have been here a long time, you have to have seen from time to time. We did test these systems. Sadly, to our knowledge, the fire suppression systems in hangars never actually were utilized for the purposes of putting out a fire over the history of the Air Force. However, we tested them all the time. And of course, when you test it, the common methodology, and Chief, help me out here, is when you fill the hangar with foam, and then, okay, turns out it works. Then you go in and you hose the foam down, and it goes into the system. Jeez, did I get that right? Okay. So.
A lot of it actually damaged aircraft, so there's a lot of inadvertent discharges. There was no fire, so.
Not one of our shining examples of greatness, but we got a lot of others. So. You got a question?
Yeah, is the toxin just that it toxic, or does it have another side
effect? So I got to be honest with you. I'm not an expert in this category. I know that it's not good. I think the main concern is long-term carcinogenic effects, which is a potential cancer-causing agent, along the lines of, you know, people who smoke cigarettes and things like that, that type of a threat. But we obviously do not want it in the groundwater because we all utilize the groundwater. So does that answer your question? Okay. Anybody else?
I do have a question, actually. So it's not penetrating the groundwater, and it doesn't pose a threat to Indian Springs. Does it pose any kind of exposure threats to, like, say, the men working in the area? Or is it not necessarily that potent? It's just like if you were to dig it up or, I don't know, ingest dirt.
Hey, flick it on, you're wrong, but you get paid for this.
Just to clarify these things, these are very, very low concentrations to be seen over the years that we have tested. So it doesn't really impact our you know, exposure right now. So we're being proactive to find out areas, about 8 areas inside the creek where we had an accidental spill, but it doesn't really impact, you know, the groundwater, nor it would impact the exposure.
Okay.
So it's very, very minimal. We're just being proactive.
Yes.
Just so everybody understands what we're talking about here, these PFAS chemicals, PFOS chemicals, what they are, they're forever chemicals. And right now there's studies going on, hey, does it cause cancer? How much of it, concentration-wise, in your bloodstream is going to cause cancer? Now, PFAS is this simple. It's anything that repels water. All your pans, they have that kind of stuff as well,
Teflon.
Right? So Teflon type of stuff, right? That way your eggs don't stick and all that good stuff. Everything you guys use, the stuff that we use, our gear, has that. So that way the water doesn't penetrate through our gear. Obviously, steam must cook us from the inside out. So anything that you kind of use, those chemicals are in there. But again, we're just, at this point, we're trying to see if there has been any of that in the water so that way we can, you know, understand what we've been dealing with, have we been drinking it, all that good stuff. And as these things get studied a little bit more, hopefully we'll understand, hey, if your levels in the blood system are this high, then you know it's starting to cause cancer. And so for us, like you said, we've been using it forever and we're having foam baths and, yeah, hey, it's safe. And then later on, you find out that, you know, you're about to retire, and all of a sudden you got cancer. And again, they still are, well, we don't know if it's sad or not. So even for us right now that have been involved in that, fighting fires and everything else, there still is not an answer saying, yes, that's what caused cancer for sure. But anyway, they're just forever chemicals there in everything that repel water and Teflon, stuff like that. It's going to be in a lot of stuff that we work with on a day-to-day basis that we just don't know is there. So we're just being made aware of it that, hey, we understand now this is an issue. As you know, stuff happens for many, many years, and they start understanding, well, maybe this is not a good thing. And so they start switching how we do things. So that's what it is. If there's any further questions, I'll see the experts here, environmental, but we have a little bit of information just going to conferences and stuff like that.
Thanks, Chief. Does that answer the question?
Yes.
All right.
Anything else? Chief. So off subject here, south. East of the base, they have that road that goes to the range with the arm.
Okay.
Got all those trucks going by, all that freaking dust. It's all coming across the street. And again, UH-60 sits on the northeast side. It sits there for hours. It just kicks up all that dust and it all comes across too. Is there any way we get that helicopter to go somewhere else and maybe asphalt that road?
So there are long-term plans to asphalt the road. However, I'm going to be honest with you, it sounds like I'm blaming somebody else, but the problem is that road does not actually belong to Creech. It belongs to the Nevada Test and Training Range, but I am aware that there are long-term plans to do that. Can I tell you right now that it's in 6 to 18 months? I can't, but I do know that there is a long-term effort to do that. As for the helicopter, I did learn a long time ago that that helicopter is it's not a pilot who's just playing. It is a important part about rotary aircraft operations. It's called a brownout, and essentially that is a training exercise.
I understand what you're doing, but I mean.
What I would offer as a resident of Indian Springs, my best advice would be to call the and we can provide this number. I don't have it right now, but I promise you I will get you the number. The noise complaint hotline can also cover that topic, the one from Nellis, and you can identify, because the Nevada Test and Training Range is based down in Las Vegas at Nellis Air Force Base. You can identify the date and time, and you can bring that up. I would submit to you that, much like the officer mentioned earlier about heat maps, the preponderance of complaints, that location is not the only place where they do that type of practice, but if the community wants it to move, I will make sure the note gets sent to the NITR commander to add the voice, but I would ask, if you guys call in, the odds are that operation could probably move on from that perspective. There's about six locations right along that back far corner where they consider them brownout locations that they practice that often. But again, I would just suggest making those phone calls to have your voice be heard. They do change. Anything else? Appreciate it. Thank you.
Report from Crete Air Force Base Fire Department.
Hello, everybody. My name is Abel Salas. I'm the Health and Safety Officer there at the Fire Department. Normally, obviously, you guys see Ramon Fitzgerald, our Fire Chief, here. He provides you this information, but I'm the lucky guy that got tagged with it today, so I'm happy to be here. I love being out here in this community, talking to the folks all the time across the street. So some of the stuff that we've had year to date is 161, and if I break that down, we've had one structural, 139 EMS calls out here. We've had 21 calls out here, so our guys stay pretty busy, which they appreciate. They come out here and help out the community, so it's a good thing that, that we're this close to the community and we can assist wherever possible, and obviously working with 83 has been great as well. Some of the things that we're doing, I guess you guys aren't that interested on stuff on base as far as the fire department, but just the regular, training academy disguised as a fire department is what we call it. We're constantly training, doing our stuff that we need to do just to make sure that our skills are kept up. But beyond that, we've been very lucky having Brent here. Got here about 2.5 years ago, roughly, and it's been great having him here. He started the National Night Out, which I know you guys know is coming here pretty soon in October, so we're excited about it. I'll let him talk about it, but the one thing I will say is that I know we have two food trucks. One of them is already paid for. I believe it's the corn dog truck that's paid for. Yep, and then we also have Omai Lumpia, and I talked to the lady there, and unfortunately, it wasn't covered. So I've been reaching out to different companies to see if we can hopefully have free food from the truck as well, so that way the community doesn't have to pay for any of that. We're able to get a $1,000 donation from one company. So the lady, her name is Miss Lily. She's awesome. She said, "Hey, look, I'll cover it. I don't care. I'll make sure that the community gets free food." I said, "Well, let me see if I can get some more sponsors and pay for your time and your work out here with the community." So, but she's willing to help us out. About 300 plates of food she's going to be able to give out to everybody. So, one or the other. I just want to make sure that that we have free food out here for the community, and just to have you guys come out and hang out with us and just get to know us as well as us getting to know you guys. It's been great being out here with you guys. So. Really appreciate being here tonight as well. Thank you for allowing me to do that. Any questions for me? Hopefully I can answer.
Thank you. No. Can you repeat your name again, please?
Yes, Abel Salas. And I did sign in on the roster there with my phone number as well.
Thank you.
All righty. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, guys.
Good evening, everybody. Most of you guys know me. Fire Inspector, Investigator over at Creech Air Force Base Fire Department. So I'm here to talk tonight about National Night Out and kind of where we are with that. It's going to be big. We've been working on a lot of planning. Got a lot of partnerships, a lot of cooperation from a lot of other agencies. Metro, Kevin back there, he's been phenomenal with helping out getting a lot of these things. So one of the things that I just found out yesterday that we're going to be getting is, and I think this is a really good idea, or really wonderful, we're having Terrible's give us five $100 gift cards, which you can use for gas or in-store. And those should be ready to pick up tomorrow. So you have a chance of winning. You got five chances to win one of those gift cards. So we're going to do a drawing. Everybody that comes to National Night Out, you're going to get one free raffle ticket. So you'll have to go to the one table we're going to have set up to get a raffle ticket. Other raffle tickets, you want to buy more to increase your odds, you'll get six for $5. And then I'm guessing around 7:30 that night, we're going to do one big drawing. And if your name and phone number is not on the back of that ticket, we have no way to contact you. So if you're there, you can pick your prize up right then and there. Otherwise, if I can't read your phone number on the back, or it's not on the back, we'll have to draw a new name. So we've got Creech Fire Department, of course, coming out, Clark County Fire. The security forces personnel from the base is supposed to be coming out. They're supposed to have a dog demonstration. We've got FBI. They're going to come out with some literature and things like that. Unfortunately, they were going to have a SWAT truck out here, but that got canceled because, I guess, other obligations. Red Rock Search and Rescue, they're going to do a demonstration, like a helo demonstration up on the airfield, where they're actually going to pick somebody up off the airfield, probably hoist them up into the helicopter. Clark County School District, AMR Ambulance, Metro, Las Vegas, or let's see here. NHP is going to have a really cool Mustang out here. And some of the different organizations, I must thank Commissioner Becker for their support. Renewable Energy is going to be giving away about 300 flashlights. So they're going to have a table set up. All the tables are going to be up on, like the booths and tables and stuff, they're going to be up on the ball field. We're going to have the lights on up there, and the same thing up on the ball field. We're going to have the dog demonstration. We'll probably do a couple of them over the course of the night. Let's see. Small Business Administration. So if anybody is interested at all in getting a small business loan, if you want to start up a business, they're the people to talk to. USDA as well. They can offer home loans or home improvement loans for very low interest rate. It's income limited, of course. I wouldn't qualify, but just saying. Ready Fire, they're a fire extinguisher, a fire equipment company. They've donated some fire extinguishers, and I also just got an email 2 days ago, Summit Fire and Security down in Las Vegas. They're donating 10 5-pound ABC fire extinguishers that we're going to raffle off also. AT&T is going to be here. Associa, that's a company that they're supposed to provide some giveaway items for us. Terrible's Casino, they gave a bunch of gift cards. Starbucks, we'll have free coffee, so if anybody wants a cup of coffee at night, I don't typically drink coffee at night myself because otherwise I can't sleep. Let's see, and of course, Terrible's C-Store over there. Beth has been wonderful to work with. So let me see. We're also going to have the Department of Forestry is coming out. There's also supposed to be some drones. So you guys had a question about drones before. They're going to have some drone stuff. Police Explorers also, we're going to have some of them to help out. The community engagement, not exactly 100% sure about community engagement.
It's my old team.
Okay.
They'll just give us handing out swag and information.
Yep. And then we're going to be using this, the fire department, we're going to be using this room here. We're going to have our fire extinguisher trainer in this room. We'll also have a swag table to give away some various different fire prevention trinkets and things like that. I have a question. We're going to have a duck tank out there. So.
What?
Okay, so.
Two of us are working, so.
Oh. All right, so we're kind of looking for volunteers to do a stint in the dunk tank. I got a teacher from the school.
Who did you get?
Tracy, Miss Tracy?
Miss Olmstead.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So she volunteered to do a stint in the dunk tank. I mean, imagine a kid walking up there. Hey, that's my teacher. I'm going to dunk her. Okay. Right. Or think about this. Let's say one of the board members. I want to dunk that person. So I'm kind of looking for volunteers to step up, do a little stint in the dunk tank.
I'm
yeah. You don't do it? We're not going to run it all night. They got to have a good throwing, you know, they got to be able to hit that little disc.
Bullseye.
Yeah, that little bullseye.
They get real small.
So, yeah, we're not going to run that all night because we'll probably shut it down before it gets dark. So that'll only be up there for a little bit, so we're not going to. Plus, we don't know how cold it's going to be that night because, you know, we're getting into cooler weather. You got to support the town, come on. You know? So, yeah, we've got a lot of stuff that's coming online, and I mean, I the outpouring of support from the different organizations has been wonderful.
It's
October 9th. It's a Thursday from 4 to 8 p.m. We're also going to have our big bounce house set up out here. And, of course, you heard him talking. We're going to have the Oh My Lopia food trailer as well as the world's best corn dogs. I heard they're pretty good. I haven't had one yet, but looking forward to it. So you can actually sit down and enjoy your food. Library is going to be out here with some different things. And the number of organizations that's going to be up there in the field is growing every day, almost every day. So does anybody have any questions?
I have one. Have you reached out to any of the sports teams?
I hadn't. I mean, last year I had one sports team from the school that reached out to me, but they were a no-show. Like one of the football teams from the Indian Springs School. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't. Actually, I talked to them at the school the other day and kind of passed on more information, so I haven't heard anything back on that yet. Unless you've got some people you could reach out to, if you know some people. And then in discussions with Sergeant Kevin back there, we're going to be canvassing the neighborhoods. We're going to start canvassing the neighborhoods in Indian Springs on about the 23rd of September. And we plan to hit every street, every residential address, hopefully, and give them a flyer and advertise this event. Because it's, like I said, it's going to be big.
What time is that up again?
It's from 4 to 8 p.m. But on the 23rd, we'll probably be starting that sometime during the day when we start going door to door. I don't know if we're probably not going to hit everything in one day, but I'm sure between prevention, myself, plus we'll probably get the ops crews over there also.
What the volunteer fire department is going
to do? You guys want to do that? Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
The more the better. That way we can maybe cover more ground faster and get it done faster.
Right.
Yeah, and then just, you know, if you can, just let everybody know. Spread the word. And I think the flyers on.
They're updated at Family Dollar.
Okay.
They're updated at the post office. I believe I have it up on Facebook. I'll double check it.
Okay.
So I've been trying to keep that updated and keep that posted about the most updated.
Yeah, because it might sound crazy, but the flyer's been kind of updating a lot because,
yeah.
You know, we've had more and more sign-ups as far as different organizations that are going to be participating. So, there, who knows? There may even be another update coming for the flyer.
The crime prevention specialist, Heidi, is one of their main jobs is to help plan National Night Out. Obviously, Heidi, her big obligation is the one that downtown Summerlin when all the areas kind of group together. But she mentioned at the meeting, all the neighborhood block avenues. done, Steve, but there shouldn't be any excuses for coming up now.
Yeah, and I actually got a phone call the other day from the assistant fire chief of rural, and he was asking me if we needed their fire safety trailer to come up here. And I said, absolutely. I said, how'd you find out about the event? He said he saw a flyer at Terrible's. That's how he found out. So, So, yeah, the flyers are out there, and I think they're also on all the different Facebook pages for, like, Indian Springs and all those. So.
I actually have to hand out jerseys to the five football teams. I'll do a flyer with every jersey.
Okay. And I also gave some to the school as well. So, anybody else got any questions?
Is this something new that happened in the past?
It happened last year.
Last year was the first year. That's the plan. And actually, the plan, we're hoping for it to get bigger and bigger every year. So I brought that to Indian Springs last year. We used to do it in a community I came from. So a lot of people at that time had never heard of it. So, but it is a national thing. Anybody else got any questions?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Parks and Rec.
Not much. We still have Pick a Prize Bingo the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month at 11. The only thing for me right now is I have Indian Springs Youth Flag football going on and cheerleading. We are using the high school football field for that. We have games every Saturday night from now until October 25th. I would love to have people come out and support the kids. We actually have some of our high school's seniors coaching our little kids right now. So based on that, I'm trying to get people to come out and support our high school on their Friday night games. So I have a list for you. Our home games are September 12th, September 19th, October 10th, which is against Laughlin. It's a homecoming game. And October 24th at 7 as well is their peak out for breast cancer awareness. So those are the high school games. So we'd love to have everybody come out and support them and support the kids that are helping me. These teenagers that help me, they have much better things that they can be doing at night. And they dedicate probably a good 4 to 5 hours a week helping me with these little kids. So I'm super, super appreciative of that. So that's it. Oh, I lied. That is not it. School counselor for us. I'm not going to have enough time before next month. We usually do it on Nevada Day. Nevada Day this year is actually on Halloween, so people aren't going to show up for us. They might show up for Hello Trees, but they're not going to show up for us. We will be doing Spooktacular October 17th. It is a Friday. The kids have no school. That's kind of my advantage why I'm doing it that day. So I'll be putting out a flyer soon, and I'll be looking for people to do volunteer inside for the games for the kids for Spooktacular. And then following that, we do a trunk or treat in the parking lot that starts at 5:45. And so I'll have sign-ups for people that want to do the trunk or treat. So I'll get all that information out soon. Any questions? What's up?
The bingo for adults.
I'm working on trying to figure out how to do a kid one. So I got a lot of kids asking me about certain, you know, bingo and just, like, game nights and stuff like that. So we're working on it. Football's taking up a lot of my time right now. So, thank you, guys.
Okay, I received a report from Clark County Administrative Services.
Ooh, I'm just glad to be moving because it's freezing over here. Jamie and I are getting ready to start a fire, so we might need the fire department.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Michelle Barrett. I'm the liaison for Commissioner April Becker, and we have lots of fun things coming up. So we're trying to compete with Parks and Rec and the library with all of their exciting events. So we do have our newsletter over there if you don't have a copy, or if you haven't signed up for it yet, we actually have a QR code that you can go ahead and take a picture and sign up for that. I'm going to put Luke to work over there, I told him, and let him hold up the various flyers of all the exciting events we have coming up. First one kicks off tomorrow. We are starting a farmer's market, which actually says little one here, so you can grab one. Stop by, grab one. It's going to be every second and fourth Friday from 4 to 8 at Mountain Crest Park. And so all kinds of fresh produce. There's going to be resource tables. There's going to be music. There's going to be food trucks. So if you want to venture on over, it's going to be a beautiful night. Tomorrow night is our first one to kick off, and the first 150 attendees get a free gift. So if that's a little incentive, I saw Quinn perk up over there. So please come and join us. If you can't make it tomorrow, like I said, every second and fourth Friday of the month out at Mountain Crest. Okay? After that, hey, Luke, lunch and learn.
Which one?
It's got blue. There we go. So we have a senior lunch and learn that we're also kicking off, and that is going to be, our first one is going to be on Tuesday, September 21st. 32-1, also at Mountain Crest Park, and there's going to be free lunch. We have partnered with UNR Extension for their aging program, and so they're going to tell everybody all about it and all the different programs they have available and things that you can do. Most of you probably don't qualify, but you know what? Those that do, that would like to come out, it's open to everybody, but come on out and try that, or just come and have lunch. Animals. There we go. Okay. As of August 4th, all dogs and cats need to be microchipped. It is now mandatory. If you have a furry friend who needs to be microchipped, dog or cat, we are doing a free microchipping on Saturday, October 4th, also at Mountain Crest. We'll see if we'll get some things out here, but Mountain Crest right now, and that's going to be from 9 to 11. And free, first come, first serve. If you bring your furry friend, if it's a dog, please have him on a leash. If it's a cat, please have it in a carrier. And so those are free microchipping while supplies last. So please join us with your furry friends. Last one. Look if he's got it. And last but not least, we are having our, in conjunction with the farmers market on Friday, October 24th, we are going to be doing a Hotel Transylvania screening. And so family movie night, come on out. We'll have popcorn in addition to all the things that are going on at the market. And they are also going to be doing a trunk and treat that night as well. So lots of fun things. And we're excited to finally get some events and activities going in the district and be involved. As we know, National Night Out here. We'll have World's Best Corn Dogs. Other news, like I said, beyond the cones, I probably have some sandwich boards that you can use for your directions. So we'll be all set with that. Any questions? Let me make sure I have all my things. Oh, one. Yes, Ms. Jamie.
I didn't know if you had any response on the speeding episode that people were talking about on Facebook, how we can make it better for McFarland. Possibly request traffic and safety to have the "you're going this speed" sign put by NDOT and one maybe by the Baptist Church or around Boulder. Also, the consideration of the people that have lived on the corner of Boulder and McFarland, of course, they have access to parking their vehicles out on easement. But since the development of Beaver Homes, that makes it almost impossible for them to see who's coming down McFarland when they're parked, when they have their vehicles parked in front of their home. And I know it's inconvenient for them to have to park inside their property, but it's a sign of progress, my dad would tell me. And due to safety, sometimes we have build a new apartment in 19 years and then they'll improve that corner. But right now,
it's a bad light spot.
Bad for
everyone. So just to follow up on from two meetings ago, I'm going to find out about the traffic study, because there was a traffic study
yes.
that they were going to be doing.
Yes.
And find out about that, because I know that there was an inquiry about putting in flashers, mm-hmm. so I will have an update.
Yeah,
on
the
that.
Flashers were specifically for the coming off of Boulder and McFarland, just on the one side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was particular both. I think it was just the one side.
So yeah, where the crosswalk is
right.
at. So.
There was also someone asked me to ask about There are certain areas in Clark County there where they have implemented traffic cushions because they do not hinder emergency vehicles. So I did my part.
Okay, we'll find out more about traffic cushions. I know that there's been a lot of things just talking about roads and whatnot. NDOT is slated to be here as a speaker next month.
Ooh.
Yes. So we'll have him. I know last month Andrew Bennett was here for transportation. Mm-hmm. Is there any other departments that you would like to possibly hear from?
BLM.
Okay.
BLM.
Okay. Any other ones, possibly, even within Clark County or any other departments? Because I'm looking to try and have or things you would like to find out about from the county? Yes.
Yeah, we've been trying that for years.
You know?
What was that? Republic Services.
Republic Services.
Nevada Power. Nevada Energy.
During the prison, what's the question for the prison? Is that really good connection today?
I didn't actually have one prepared directly, but I know that this one has come up in the last few months, in the last year or so.
Okay. I just don't know if there are any questions I might be able to answer.
Things like that. I guess plans to go for a stage, something like that.
Okay, we actually just covered all of that. And I think joint meeting, so we can talk offline if you want.
Anything else?
Has there been any movement for months? I've asked about if we can get a DMV kiosk out here with the town growing. Has there been any movement, or is that just fallen off the wayside?
I was going to say, sorry, that's the first I've heard of.
I haven't heard of it either.
Yeah.
That was when
when Marcella was here.
Yeah, when Marcella was here.
Marcella, okay. She brought it up several times.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I've heard quite a few comments on, is it possible, or is there any update on the community cleanup? Have we heard anything about that?
No, I reached out to Republic Service, which ironically, now that you're saying that, and I have not heard back from them.
Okay, and
so
then
I'll follow up on them again.
Anything from the sign out front of Indian Springs? Also haven't heard anything? Okay.
So we can get him. I know that Andrew said that was, I think, something we had touched on.
Right.
We had touched on that it was brought up last month at the meeting about the sign. So
lastly.
So it's sign and community.
If we were to get volunteers, is there any way the county would like to volunteer to supply some kind of ready mix of some kind for some local volunteers to fix our potholes on our non-county maintained dump road?
No.
You've probably never driven up there, but okay. The potholes are so ridiculous that I can navigate them in my sleep because I've lived here my whole life, but with all the newcomers and the kids that like to ride up there, they're getting worse and worse, and since it's not a county-maintained road, I know that we could probably find enough volunteers to take care of the work. It's just a matter of supplying the material for it.
Okay, so potholes on, is there anything in that road?
It's called Old Ben, but we call it Dump Road.
Okay.
There's so many locals that probably couldn't even tell you that it's called Old Ben. And then also, this is more of a BLM question, but we would also like to, I don't know if it could be included in the community cleanup, but Dump Road in itself is becoming such an eyesore from people dumping up there. And I know that it is BLM, but that doesn't mean that we couldn't organize a community cleanup on our own. So if we can include it, right, if we could include it in the community cleanup, because I think that was where we were originally planning on having the trucks come up, when Marcello was here. Is that right? Does anybody remember? I thought they were going to come up and post up at Dump Road and have a couple trucks just haul back and forth.
I don't think so. We talked about having them out here.
Right, but they couldn't for some reason.
Well, they can't. The problem with Republic Services, if I recall the issue before, was they don't want to bring out their trucks or whatever, because when you do the cleanups, you have so many things that you can throw in the dump trucks or the dumpsters or whatever, but then you have the things like the electronics and the paints and the oils that cannot go in there, and those things get piled up and left behind, and then who's responsible for those? And Republic Services doesn't want any part of that.
Right.
I remember just going back to that last year because I've made calls to other people, and it's kind of along the same line. You keep running into that problem. So, sure, we can do this, but you guys are going to have this, and then how do you get rid of that? That's a whole other problem, and we don't want any part of that.
It's a logistics nightmare.
Right.
And okay. Going up to the dump road, you're going to run into a similar situation because there's all kinds of crap up there.
I know there is. I was up there recently.
I'm up there every morning.
Anything else?
Yes. Without the microchip,
is it for any vegetarian?
It's cats and dogs.
Just cats and dogs.
No goats.
I know, I asked it. No, yes. Or guinea pigs. Yeah. I know, I asked about guinea pigs. There were chinchillas, all kinds of things that came up, but no, just cats and dogs.
What are the consequences for not microchipping your cat or dog? Do we know? Just a fine.
It's a way to track them, and then they can also track if you have a pet license. Because by law, you have to have a license as well.
So it's the reason this being instituted is the amount of animals that are, they get scared or they run away, and then they do wind up in a shelter, and then they have no way of identifying them.
Right.
So that's the impetus behind the requirement that has kicked in. Anything else?
Thank you.
Okay, I've got my marching orders. And I warmed up, thank you.
I was going to say, is it warmer?
It's warmer here.
Planning and zoning, we don't have anything there tonight. Comments by the general public, there is about two.
We can't cancel the meeting because we have an agenda item next month that we can't. Yeah, and we
want to. Have to use the bathroom.
Right. That's fine. Okay.
Will we have an agenda? Or will we have a quorum?
Are we going to have a quorum?
Will we have a quorum?
I should be there.
Okay.
Okay. That's what it is.
So, comments by the general public. Both your comments by the general public about the matters relevant to the board, jurisdiction, or the health, or discussion, action, or vote being taken on this agenda at this time. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to your name, address, and spell your name if it's a crazy one.
We have two from Freeze and two from Metro, and it was amazing. So I think we had like 60 or 70 vehicles total in that parade, and it was a good turnout. It was a great turnout. The second thing is the commissioner, after they came in, the library had approached them about ADA doors for the front of our building, and that is in process.
I've received the work orders. They've been out to measure, and they're working on that to make these doors ADA compliant. And I know that that's important for some of the people out here with the wheelchairs and scooters, and I just forgot to share that with you guys, and I apologize. So hopefully that'll be done in the next maybe 6 months. So that's it.
Anyone else? Okay, we will adjourn this meeting until October 16th, which we have canceled.
Lots of follow up. So, I'm sorry, Shara, here for
Fire
season.
Okay,
got it.
Shower. If you have a bad call or you get dirty or something, you can shower there.
Yeah.